Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, Arise and go to the street called Straight. So just as a side note, if you Google Straight Street, you'll actually see it on Google Maps. It's a cool little, funky little street with housing, and it's just narrow. It's good to look at. And then he said, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he may receive his sight. Would you say the title of today's message after me? New sight.
New sight.
New sight. And that's our prayer today, isn't it? God, would you just give us new sight, spiritual sight, heavenly perspective. Would you give us new sight today? Well, while we take our seats right now, if you know the person next to you, why don't you look into their eyes and say, I love your eyes today. If you don't know them, don't say anything. It's an awkward moment. Made a few matches this morning in the house of the Lord, which is good. Guys, always waiting for that opportunity. I just created it for you. Have you ever had situations in your life and you've just reflected on your life and you've just thought to yourself, man, what a mess. What a mess. You know, maybe you've, in your life, you've looked at yourself at times, or maybe even now today, and you're thinking, man, I am just such a mess. And I think Paul in the Bible, we're going to refer to Paul many ways today, so either Paul or Saul. Some people think theologically that when Saul encountered Jesus, that God changed his name to Paul, but it's not actually the case. So it was quite common back in those days for them to have a name for the Jewish world and a name for the Gentile world. So Saul's a Jew, so his Jewish name or Hebrew name is Saul, but when God encountered him, he went and preached the gospel to all the Gentiles, and so we use the name Paul, but it's nothing really more than that. But so we're going to look at his life, and Paul is an interesting guy. He's a Jew who was devoted to God. Now, the bar mitzvah for a Jew is at 13 years old, which is the coming of age, I suppose we would call it. Now, when you're a Jew, by that age, you already knew the Torah off by heart. So the Torah is the first five books of the Bible. I don't know about you, if you've read Genesis chapter 1, I probably stopped my memory at about verse 5. And so to remember five boring books of the Bible, if you've read those five, you know what I'm talking about. But yeah, it's a massive thing. And so here's Saul. He's a child that grew up understanding the laws of Moses. He understood all the Torah, which was, I suppose, the Bible back then, because that was what was given to Moses on Mount Sinai. He understood the prophets, so Isaiah and chapters in the Old Testament that were already written. So he knew all this stuff off by heart. And Paul was zealous for God. He was zealous for the Messiah. And as a Jew, they believed that one day the Messiah of God, the Messiah would come and that he would rule Rome and fix everything in society, that he would come, sort out all the Romans, stop the depression, and that he would rule and that they would call him the Messiah. But who knows, when Jesus came, he came as a servant of man. He came to serve us. He came to show us a new way. He didn't come to destroy and to sit on an earthly throne. He already sat on the heavenly throne, and his desire was to come and to heal and to mend humanity. And so for the Jews and for Saul, the Messiah didn't come the way they imagined. So they did not recognize Jesus Christ as the Messiah. They recognized him as a great prophet, but not as Jesus the Messiah as we do. And so Saul was completely devoted. The Bible explains that Saul was zealous after the things of God. Saul even watched Stephen. Do you remember in the Bible the story of Stephen? And he got stoned to death for proclaiming Jesus as the Messiah. See, the story goes that Paul was actually watching that stoning. And Saul had the authority to stop the stoning, but he didn't. He allowed it to happen. And the authorities of the land actually then gave Saul the authority to go and throw any Christ believers in prison. They were called blasphemers. And so Saul would go around to town, from town to town, actually looking for these people because they were blaspheming against what they knew to be the Messiah in their Jewish culture, not understanding that Jesus was the Messiah that they were looking for all along. So we pick up the story and we have Saul one day. If I refer to Saul as Paul, it's the same person, just different name. Depends on what part of scripture I'm reading. But one day here's Saul and he's traveling to Damascus to persecute, to put into prison all the Christ followers. And Acts 9 says this, verse 3. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. It's pretty intense. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Wow, I love that. Paul was persecuting the sons and daughters of Christ. And here's Jesus Christ taking that as he's persecuting Jesus himself. That's because he died for us. He gave his life for us. Talk about a massive perspective change, hey, for Saul. See, being a Jew and believing as they did, as what we call Jewish culture these days, it's not like people in Australia who decide what religion they want to follow. Being a Jew or the Jewish way of life is who they are. That we are born Australians, right? And no one can take that away from us. It's the same for the Jews. You're born a Jew. You're born into this lifestyle. You're born into this way of thinking. So here's Jesus revealing himself as the Messiah to Saul, changing his whole paradigm of not only what he believes, but of who he is. Everything he stands for, his whole lifestyle, everything right now in this moment is up in the air. Could you imagine Saul's mind just for a moment? Have you ever had a moment in your life where someone's come and told you some truth and you've struggled to believe that truth because you've always thought something different, but you know that you need to listen? And how much effort it takes for us to just shift our mindset? Does anyone identify with that? Here's Saul. Could you imagine all the theology in his mind, all the scriptures of the Torah, cross-referencing all the prophecies about the Messiah in Isaiah, cross-referencing in his mind. And it's like all these light bulb moments of that's what that scripture actually means. That's who they refer to as the Messiah. That's who Isaiah was prophesying about. And all this stuff coming into line in his mind. Imagine the immense emotion, but also the intense revelation of what's going on inside of him. I would just want to go out to all the world and just shout it out. But, you know, there's a little time frame when you study out Saul's life. There's a little time frame in scripture that you don't really see when you read the scripture. And they call it the lost decade of Saul. And there's about 10 to 12 years of Saul's life after this encounter that the scriptures don't account for. And what they believe is that Saul, at that moment, the Bible tells us that he went back to Tarsus, where he was born, but then he went into the desert, the Arabian desert, back to where God encountered Moses and gave him the Torah. He went there for anywhere around or up to 10 years. And it's in that moment that Saul realigned himself with God, with Hashem. And he realigned himself with God. And he said, God, you gave this to us Jews, when you gave it to, to Moses on Mount Sinai, but here I am having new revelation today of the Torah. I need to get this revelation now from you. I need this fresh download from you. And I love this because this idea is sometimes when God encounters us, we need to put ourselves aside in the presence of God and ask God to breathe truth and breathe life into the revelation that He has placed inside of our lives. I don't know about you, but I'm often the sort of person when I get a revelation, I just want to go off and start telling people. But then with that, foolishness can be involved. Because with the revelation, sometimes comes a lack of wisdom. And so we start to say things and counsel people and tell them all this amazing stuff, but we don't actually understand it. We know it's truth, and we know God is telling us something, but we don't actually understand. I love the self-discipline of Saul to take himself aside and just put himself in the presence of God and submit himself to his Lord and say, God, give me true understanding so I can preach to all the world and set up your church and lead people in the right way. I don't know why I even went there, but that's for somebody today. Take time out and ask God to bring life and light to the revelation that he gives you. So could you imagine Paul at this time? I think if I was Paul, I would have hopped on my knees and put my head in my hands and just gone, wow, what a mess. What a mess. We've just been believing this for so long and we're all missing it. But now I know who the Messiah is. This is just unbelievable. For me, a good way of thinking of this is I asked Melanie, when I was preparing this message and I was asking, how would you describe this sort of a mess? And she said, well, it's like eating too much cake. And I get that. It's kind of like when you're at a party, you have two or three pieces of cake and then you just go back for that final piece. It just felt so right, but it was so wrong at the same time. For me, it's like when I was younger, I had an addiction, and I'm going to confess to the church, and please don't hold this against me, forgiveness in the house. But I used to drink so much Coke, I thought it was actually water, and I'm a tradesman. So as a tradesman, you always go out to the smoko van, you get your spicy chicken wings and a 1.25 liter of Coke. And so that was me, and then when we got married, I continued that culture into our marriage, and after work every day I used to come home. I used to still have smoko and lunch, which was a liter of Coke, and then I'd come home and celebrate being home for the day, so I'd have another glass of Coke. And it was so right yet so wrong at the same time. And I learned, because I paid for that later when I had my stomach lining was stripped away and I couldn't stand or sit properly with all the pain in my stomach. Sometimes we believe things and we do things and we allow ourselves to go places and it feels so right, but it's so wrong at the same time. Wow. And Proverbs 14:12 says this, but there's a way that seems right to a man, but it ends in the way of death. Who would like life? Life. And this speaks to so many layers, doesn't it? Today we're looking at the theology of the Jews and when God comes into our mess in our lives and wants to make it glorious because he wants to show himself in our mess in the midst of it. But this just has so many layers for us. Relying, one of those words, you can fill in the blank, to your past. To your past, you might look at your past and you might go, man, my past is a mess. If only people knew. If only people knew. You know, you might look at situations in your life right now and you might be thinking to yourself, man, my life is a mess. Or you might even look at yourself sometimes and you just think to yourself, man, I'm a mess. But let me tell you the good news. The good news is that in the midst of that all, God wants to bring revelation to us and he wants to give us new sight today. Because when he looks at you and I, he doesn't see a mess. But what he sees is how he saw Paul. And the Bible says that when he spoke to Ananias, the Bible tells us that God said to Ananias, I need you to go to Saul because I have chosen Saul for something mighty, to set up my church and to go out into all the world and preach the gospel and tell everybody about this revelation. Church, can I tell you this morning, no matter how you feel, no matter what your past is, or even when you look into your future, you might still see a mess. Or people might have told you that you're a mess. They might have told you you're a loser. They might have told you you've got no self-worth. They might have told you that you're ugly and that you're not beautiful. They might have told you that you're an arrogant person. Whatever it is that people think, God has different sight when He looks at you. When God looks at you, He sees a mighty person. He sees a person that He has chosen to choose, and He is hoping that you would choose Him back, because He has plans to prosper you, to give you hope, to give you a future, to give you a dream. This isn't me talking right now. The Bible says all this, that when He looks at you, He sees a mighty person. He sees someone fearfully and wonderfully made. The Bible says that His every thought is on you. He knows the numbers of hairs on your head. That's how much He cares. In fact, He cares so much, He sent His Son Jesus to redeem us, and then sent His own Spirit to live inside of us, which we have now, so that we can look at our mess and we can see the glory of God pulling us through and lifting us up through all those things. Is that not good news? It is. Yeah, could you imagine the frame of mind that Paul had? On one thought, he would have been like, man, this is all messed up. But on the other thought, he would have thought, thank you, Jesus, for choosing me and for telling me the truth. Amazing, hey. And that's what the truth is today for you. We can all say, thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. Thank you, Jesus, that today I got built up in faith, and so that I don't have to look at the mess of my life, but I can look at the victory of my life in you. And that's what I love about this. I want to remind us today that you might have mess in your past that is nothing to be proud of. But that doesn't mean you don't have a future with God to be proud of and to rejoice about. You might have messed up relationships in your life, but that doesn't mean that God doesn't want to restore you and teach you again how to love people. That doesn't mean that God doesn't want to bring someone into your world that's going to be your best friend, or that partner into your world that's going to live life with you, building you up and seeing you have your best future and your best hope. Have you noticed that sometimes in life, actually quite a bit in life, people speak negative stuff, don't they? We don't do that. I know no one in this house does this, but people speak negativity. Anyone can see the negative. Anyone can see the problem. And they say things like, you're useless, no one loves you, you're ugly, you'll amount to nothing. Then after a while, we start to believe these words. But the truth is if you've ever been told any of these things, the truth is it's wrong. It's not correct. It's not correct. You are not ugly. You're not worthless. You're not loveless. You have so much to offer. God has seeds inside of you that want to blossom into mighty trees of love and joy and peace like you've never understood. See, even as I'm saying that, some people here, I can sense it right now, some people are denying the truth of the words that I'm saying. I have never experienced that level of love that you're talking about, and I don't believe it's true. Well, that's good. I'm not asking you to believe it. I'm asking you to have faith for it this morning. And that's a different thing. You are so loved that God created you in His image. You are fearfully, wonderfully made. God first loved you, and that's why you have the ability to love others. God has plans for your life. You know, Saul encountered Jesus on the way to Damascus, and I love this. I love this thought. Listen to this. In that moment of revelation, Saul's belief system was transformed and now became a faith system. Let me say that again. His belief system was transformed and now became a faith system. And this is good news, because belief and faith are not the same. They're extremely close. They're really close, but they're not the same. See, belief doesn't have the ability of faith, but faith has the ability to believe in something or someone. Belief is based upon your own convictions. So it's self-gratifying or it's self-based on your own conviction. But faith is based on your conviction in Jesus Christ. Faith is based on our conviction of Jesus. Let me put it to you this way. Let's just say we just take for a moment Jesus out of the equation. What is faith? You can believe in something, but what is faith without Jesus? When you bring Jesus into the equation, we have the next level. We have the ability to have faith in who Jesus is. And it's our faith in who Jesus is that brings the answer, not our own knowledge or even our belief system. Let me prove it to you again. So Saul had a belief system in a Messiah. But until he knew and encountered Jesus as the Messiah, he had nowhere to place faith. And for us, sometimes we start to believe things that people say. We believe what the enemy tells us. We believe that we are sinners when the Bible doesn't say that. As soon as you give your life to Jesus Christ, you are no longer a sinner. We have sinful nature and we do sinful things. But when God looks at you, he doesn't see a sinner. He sees the righteousness of Christ. That's all in the Bible right here. And see, so we have a belief system that sometimes we believe in, and the devil feeds these things through people or through our own experiences and dreams or whatever it might be, self-doubt and things like that. But that's just a belief system. Why don't we put our faith in Jesus Christ? And why don't we put our faith in the Jesus that says that you're more than a conqueror, that you can wake up tomorrow and every day is new, that every day is a new day in Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says, that he says that you have the mind of Christ. For me, that's like an explosion moment. I remember just a couple of years ago, I had a revelation. It was only like probably 2 years ago. I had a revelation of that scripture that says that I have the mind of Christ. How insane is that? I have the mind of Christ. When I think of the mind of Christ, I think of Jesus like this perfect mind of holiness and this righteous mind, no sin at all in his mind. Whenever temptation comes, he just has this ability to block it out and remain righteous and pure in his mindset. And then I had this revelation of that scripture that says, I have the mind of Christ. How insane is that? You and I have the mind of Christ. That's because when God looks at us, he doesn't see sinners. He sees righteous people. The Bible says that we are the crown of righteousness. We are Jesus' crown of righteousness. You know what that means? That means Jesus sitting right now on the right hand of the Father in heaven is boasting about you and I. And he's going, look what I have done. I've made a way so that they can come and party with us in heaven. How great is this? I have made a way, Holy Spirit, for you so that you can go on earth and fill humanity so that they can live victorious lives. That's why it says that we're the head, not the tail, that we're victorious, that we aren't overcome, but we are the overcomers. Why we have dominion? It's because through Christ, faith in Jesus allows us to have these things. So next time the enemy starts feeding lies to any of us, why don't we just rise up and say, I have faith in who Jesus is, and this is a lie from the enemy, and you have no power over me anymore. Amen? Because that's who you and I are. Acts 9:18 says, immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received sight at once. He had new sight. God, today, would you give us new sight? Heavenly sight, heavenly perspective for our lives, for other people's lives, for who we are and who you are. God, would we see you as the God of love, as the God of joy, as the God of peace? Give us new sight today. It's the difference between believing you are strong enough to get through this season or having faith in Jesus that with his strength you will get through this season. See, one way, the believing way, is that you can. The faith way is that you are. The faith way is is that you are victorious. Why? Because Jesus has already died on the cross. He has already risen, and he already sits on the right hand of the Father in heaven. It's already done, and it's already finished. The Bible teaches us that even before creation, that Jesus had already suffered the cross. In other words, he already planned to be the Redeemer even before creation. Church, it is done. It is finished. You are healed. It's the difference here. See, this is the difference. Believing says, God, you can heal me. Faith says, God, through Jesus Christ, I am healed. Believing says, with you, God, I can be victorious. Faith says, because of Jesus, I am the victorious son or daughter of God. See, faith is already finished, done, and dusted. That's the faith we have in Jesus. It's by the stripes of Jesus that we are healed. And if I remember correctly, Jesus rose from the dead victorious, the conqueror over sin and death, over sickness. He's already given us health. He has given us a new mind because we have the mind of Christ. He has given you new thoughts, new thought patterns. We can develop these things in our life if we remain with faith. You know, one of my most favorite sayings is, don't give up on the brink of a miracle. Don't give up on the brink of a miracle. And I live by this. You know, often things in my world, you know, there's things in our lives that maybe have just been there for years. You know, those things, thought patterns or mindsets or behaviors that have just been there for a long time. But can I encourage you? Faith is sustaining. Faith sustains. Faith sustains. Belief gets knocked down every time negativity comes or you feel like you can't. But faith is sustaining. It's a sustaining substance in our lives. And can I encourage you, never stop believing that you will have victory in your world. Never stop believing that you are greater, that you are stronger, that you have the power over the enemy and his plans, because he will keep trying. He will keep going because he wants to take you out in your mind, in your heart, in your doctrines, or whatever it is, in relationship. He has a plan to take you out because when he sees you, he sees what God can see in you, and he does not want that to come to fruition. So he might keep going, but we, with faith, people of the faith, we never stop. We always go, God, today I pray that today will be a new day and that this thought pattern, this addiction, this thing in my world, whatever it is, this past mess in my life, today has no power over me. And tomorrow we wake up and guess what we do? Today this has no power over me. And the next day we wake up and guess what we do? Today this has no power over me, because that's the faith that we have in Jesus. Amen. I love this verse in Romans 1:17. It says, For it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen. The just shall live by faith. Can I encourage us today, church, that let's live by faith. Let's live in a mindset of victory today. Amen. Could I ask the worship team to come up and join me? Will you ask God today, church, for new sight? For new sight in every area of your life? For new heavenly perspectives on every area of your life? You know, like Saul, sight that was filled with faith. That's what he now had. Sight fixated on Jesus and the love of God, to see God in every area of our life, in everything, to see God in our mess, to see God in our victory, to see God all around us. You know, when we walk through our day, look around. Look around. You're driving your car, look around. I love just to look around and look at the trees and the grass, especially when I go out praying and just go, God, this is amazing. Your glory is all around. Your glory is all around. You know that person that you're fighting with? Just have a look at them next time you're arguing with them. Just go, oh my goodness, how did you make that? That's just like, that's insane. You know, hopefully they're doing the same when they're arguing with you as well. and you can give them the answer. You know, something that I love to do in my world is self-talk. And I believe I do this because it's a step of faith, or it's, to me, it's walking in faith. I have no problem telling people how awesome I am. I have no problem telling people that I'm a brilliant guitar player or a bass player. Or I have no problem with that, because I think that we live in a world full of negativity. I don't know if you've noticed that. You turn on the TV, it's just negativity. And you know what? God has fearfully, wonderfully made you. He loves you so much. Loves you so, so much. It's unbelievable. And I like to give God glory wherever I can. And I think, you know what? If I'm created in His image, I ought to be proud of that. You know what? You're created in God's image. Can I encourage you? Be proud of that. When people ask you how your day's going, tell them it's brilliant. You know, it doesn't matter what's going on in your world. It's brilliant. Just look outside. Just look at creation. You know, how are you feeling today? Well, you know what? I'm not feeling too well inside, but you know what? I'm happy. I love life. Like, woke up and air was arranged for me. I just suck it in, you know? I looked in the mirror and I realized just how good looking I am. My ears are a bit big, but I like that. That's, you know, let's have a heavenly perspective, a new sight today, a new sight today. The Lord is good. You are magnificent. We are the best church in Morayfield. We have so much vision in our hearts and so much to offer this world. You do. You and I do. We have so much to say. We have so much to be grateful for. Amen. New sight of how God looks at us. The messed up side, it's reality, hey. It's reality. We've got things in our life. But you know, with God, we get to now choose how we look at these things. Can I encourage you, as hard as it is sometimes to walk through the mess, can I encourage you to put your faith in God and allow today the Holy Spirit open up the eyes of our hearts so that our natural vision is now filtered through our spiritual vision, our spiritual eyes. Can I just say to you that the reality of the mess is the natural human reality, but the reality of your salvation is way above and way beyond anything that could possibly be in our lives. Amen. Get faith-filled people around you. Don't just get random people or your workmate. Get faith-filled people around you and walk with you through the mess, because we are a victorious people. And when we do it together, we will be victorious. Amen. Amen. We are victorious. I mean, that's faith, right? We are victorious. Why don't we stand to our feet right now? I'd love us just to say a little prayer together, if that's all right, like a confession. Would you maybe just close your eyes just for a second? Just repeat this after me. Jesus, say, God, I ask for new sight, to see myself as you see me, to see others as you see them, to see life as you do. God, give me eyes of love and grace and a heart full of joy. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Can we just give God a shout of praise? Show Him how.